Lord bless you, buddy.
Man, well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, and I thank you for being here on this Lord's Day. Can you hear me now? Okay. Most evangelists give their invitations at the end. I just enjoy doing stuff differently than most evangelists, so I'm going to give you an invitation at the beginning, amen? You ready? Play it, brother. You bring that up in the monitor a little bit. A little. One pair of hands form the mountain. One pair of hands form the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands form the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sand. These hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands healed the sick. One pair of hands raised the dead. One pair of hands calmed the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree. These hands are so strong, so in love goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. These hands are so strong, so in life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands. Oh, that's my invitation to you today, friend. If you've never done that, that's first things first. Amen. If you haven't, I hope you think about it today. I hope the Lord will speak to your heart about that. Well, we greet you from Connersville, Indiana. That's where our ministry has been based out of for many, many, many years. Grew up there, graduated the high school. The church I grew up in, it's a church I maintain an office out of. But that is rapidly changing. We are in the process of relocating our ministry from Connersville, Indiana to Foley, Alabama. That means we're using up just about all of I-65. That's what that means. And it has been a crazy year because I scheduled pretty far ahead and I had no idea when the house was going to sell and getting stuff in storage and out of storage. And biggest reason we're going is my mom and dad are down there. They're up in years. Health is failing some. It's not an emergency situation, but it is time for us to take those steps. So we're in a process of we've sold our house and moving our storage stuff down there. And they're going to sell their house and move in with us. And I thought I had some time to get all my stuff in, but they found a buyer before they even listed the house, so everything got moved up, and they're closing next week. But I can't really tell all these pastors I'm booked with. I've got a lot of stuff in my life right now. Could we just do all these meetings next year? Let's move these 2 months and go to... They don't like that too well when you say that. So we've been pecking away at it. Every window we have, we try to make another trip, take some more stuff. And you can imagine living in a house at least 13 years, how much you accumulate over time. And so that's pretty crazy. Pretty draining right now physically. So you are one of our supporting churches, and looking for a prayer request, that'd be one of them right now. Just energy. That's one of the reasons my wife is not with me today. Angie usually travels with me in my meetings. She's down there trying to bring organization to all the chaos we have down there. My mom and dad's moving in. My oldest son and his wife also, who've been watching my mom and dad in the interim. They're moving in. And so a lot of times when you think you're downsizing, you're upsizing. Amen. That's just how life is sometimes. And you do what you need to do. And we're trying to honor the Lord in this season of our lives. But it's a real joy to be back with you. It's been a couple years since we ministered here. And we certainly are appreciative of your support, monthly support, as a mission work. And also the fact that you allow us to come every now and then, make a point. To have some time on your schedule. I know you do a lot also, so making that time we don't take that for granted. It's what we're trying to say. So we thank you for doing that. Today we are featuring a couple of recordings we did not have the last time we were with you. One is called Revival, and man, I'm telling you, we've never gotten the response we have on any one recording, one collection of songs that we have off this particular project. It is. The Lord just has anointed it. One pair of hands is off of that, some of that I did in Sunday school. And also a brand new recording that is being shipped out next week. It is our new Christmas project. I've not done a new Christmas project in years, but we are very, very excited about this as well. And we're going to be sharing some Christmas music. I know it's only October, but, you know, if J.C. Penney can do it, I can do it. Amen. So let me share some of that stuff with you. Go ahead.
The shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. There laid the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels sing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born, yeah, oh yeah. The shepherds wonder, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night. I hear the angels sing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Glorious, glorious. Angels sing, hallelujah, let the earth receive that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive the King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
Yes. The Word became flesh. Dwelt among us.
All is calm now, all is quiet, the stars shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, a king is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
Amen. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I mentioned about those two new recordings. We have also have a four-pack, rubber band bundle four-pack. There's four for 20. Some of our most requested music we've done through the years is on that. You may want to check that out. A lot of things at the table, prayer cards and business cards, got our website, all of that. The Christmas recording, it is a not just a sign-up sheet to be notified, but it is a legitimate pre-order. You prepay, and we give you free shipping on the Christmas recording. We also have a jar out there, and that is a totally different account for us. This is to help us with our mission trips to the Philippines and to India. God is greatly blessed. I just shared with the folks in Sunday school over the last 4 or 5 years in those two countries, over 6,000 people have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Over 30 church plants have been birthed with the converts from all of those meetings. And I'm telling you, it is exciting. There's been some bumps in the road. There's been some tragedies along the way. I may share a little bit of that with you tonight. But God is sovereign, and I read the back of the book, and we win. Amen? But why do we do this after all these years? Why are we still... Well, we could just do our regular week-to-week church stuff and make a living and, you know... Why are we still trying to launch out? Why are we trying to do new things? Why are we still trying to cast vision? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's no doubt about it. The gospel is the greatest story ever told. It just is. There have been many they've tried to put up next to it. There's other books rather than the Bible they try to put up next to it. But I'm telling you, heaven and earth passes away, but the word stands. Amen? And the gospel stands. And that's what this song says. It's still the greatest story ever told.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. a hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of kind and light, angels singing carols in the cold, eternal revelation to man as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God, a fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
That's why I'm going to keep telling.
One of the things that you will find on our table with our prayer cards and our business cards is our website, allenharrisministries.org. Allen spelled A-L-A-N, ministries, plural, allenharrisministries.org. I would encourage you to check that out. It's got an online store where you can listen to at least one song off each recording. We have several videos on there. If you'll scroll and click and get on the right page, it'll we have many links to our channel on YouTube, which you can subscribe to for free. There are sermons you can download. There are videos, one called Life After Death, which is a plain, brief explanation of salvation. And if you can remember that website and been witnessing to somebody and been wanting them to maybe hear it from somebody else, and point them to that. We'd be glad to try to help you in your efforts to witness and to grow. We're here to help each other out, right? Amen? We also have a Facebook page, Allen Harris Family Ministries. Allen Harris Family Ministries. So like us on Facebook. Go there. It has a lot of the news of what we're doing overseas, family ministry. Tell you a little bit about what's going on with our three boys and what they're doing these days, all that kind of stuff. So check that out. And I know the Lord will bless you as you do. We are planning a trip to Israel in May, another one to India probably about this time next year in September, and we're trying to fit one into the Philippines in between, but it's been very, very hard with all this moving. It's kind of blown all the overseas travel out of the water when you make a move like this. It's so time-consuming. But be praying with us, and we'll be reporting to you how the Lord is blessing that along the way. I said in Sunday school that you wear many hats. When you do what I do, most people think of evangelists. They think of, you know, crusades and evangelistic campaigns and soul winning and all of that. And we do all of that. And I just mentioned to you how God has blessed those efforts around the world. But we also are concerned with discipleship and training. We do marriage seminars. We do stewardship conferences, Bible conferences, revivals, and all of that to try to challenge people. But
There's also, from time to time, when we stop by, God just leads me to go to certain passages of Scripture. And one of the things He's gifted us with is to be able to see some things in the Scripture that maybe others haven't. Not that we're better than anybody else, but it's just different strokes for different folks. Not everybody's the same. Everybody has a different style. And when God puts these gifts together and links them together, we're able to expand what we see in the Scripture. Amen? That's by divine appointment. That's how God does it. And we did that in Sunday school. There were some that came up after Sunday school and said, you know, I never put those dots together between Orne and Surrender and Solomon's Temple and all. What a big deal that was. But it makes you look at it differently, doesn't it? So today we're going to do one of those things with another passage of Scripture, this time found in the New Testament. If you'll join me in John chapter 19, we'll look at verses 23 and 24. Appreciate your pastor and his wife. These are friends, and I just won't say too much because I'll probably get a little emotional. But the longer you're in this, the more you appreciate people that have tried to help you and have tried to stay up with you. And we were separated for a while there. I just lost track of him. I didn't know where he was, what he was doing, and wasn't pastoring full time. But I'm glad we connected again, man. I really am, and it's a real honor to be a partner and a guest here. All right, let's look at the Scripture. The Bible says in John 19, verse 23, then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now when you read a passage of Scripture like this, there are some obvious things that certainly are worthy to be pointed out. We can see the depravity of man here. I'm sure you've heard that term in much of Brother Rick's preaching. Depravity of man. Man is totally depraved. I mean, look at what they're doing. They're robbing a dying man's body. But you know, all of us could have done that. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men and women for all of sin. We've all got that sin nature in us. Isaiah 64:6 says, at our best, we're bad. Our righteousness that we would present to God is just as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. His standard is just so much higher. And so these actions of these people, they show us another example of our own depravity. We see the shame of Christ on the cross. Obviously, we see that in this passage. It would shame anybody to be crucified like that, treated like that. Cat of nine tails led to the road of suffering and, you know, all of those things that I don't have time to go into today. No one's ever approached loving you like Jesus. Amen? 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 I'm telling you. And it would shame all of us to go through something like that. But you multiply that, dear friend, times the righteousness of a holy God when He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. In fact, book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us. Get this now, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Thank God. I agree with the author of Hebrews, who would say, let's consider that. Amen? Let's look at that. Let's review that, the shame that he took for us. We certainly see that God's word is literally true. That's another thing by way of introduction that I would send your way. Because what was happening here in John 19 was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy that was made 1,000 years earlier in Psalm 22:18. And the reason I share that with you is to remind you this morning that all prophecy will be fulfilled literally true. It was fulfilled in this case, and it's going to continue to be fulfilled. You don't have to worry about whether or not there's going to be a rapture. You don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You don't have to worry about whether or not there's going to be a 1,000-year reign. You don't have to, you know what? You don't have to worry about that, friend, because God's word has forever settled it. He has always fulfilled prophecy, literally, and he's going to continue to do so. So we see that we are depraved. It makes us want to walk carefully. We see the shame and suffering of Jesus. That makes us ought to want to be grateful. We see God's word is literally true. And man, that ought to make us want to sing with rejoicing that Jesus is coming again. Amen? Well, those are pretty good 3 points. That's a pretty good sermon right there. But what did I say? We're going to look at something most people miss. So my real message is in the last part of verse 23. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. That is what really excites me about this passage. You're thinking, man, I don't know. It didn't look like that much to me. Well, it might not until you start thinking about it. And you try to find a seamless garment. Even in our day and age, with all of the technology available to us, can you find a seamless garment? I mean, seams are in sports coats. Shirts have seams. Pants have seams. Sweaters have seams. A sock is a simple garment, isn't it? It's got a seam across the toes. Handkerchiefs have seams. And I'm not going to say to you this morning that it is impossible to find some article without a seam, but I'm telling you, even in our day, with all that's available to us, it's still a very laborious process to find that. It's difficult. It's tedious to find any garment that will fit any body on any part of their body that is woven from the top throughout. But Jesus had one. Jesus had one. Now here's an obvious question. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? What manufacturer would produce a garment without a seam? It would be too costly. It would be too impractical. It would simply cost too much money to produce a garment like that. So ladies and gentlemen, think with me now. I believe that we can conclude and not be in error this morning that this garment was made by an individual. Somebody who wanted to do something special for Jesus with the ability and opportunity that God had given them. Maybe other people could not do what this person could do. Maybe she could not do what others could do. We're all made and wired with different gifts, different personalities, different abilities. But I thank God that we can observe in this passage that this person who had this opportunity, who had this ability, took the opportunity for their work to be identified with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that really the only work worth doing? When you come right down to it. So how can we duplicate what this person did? Well, I don't believe we can do the exact same thing. The seamless garment's already been made, and we're reading about it, and there you go. But here's my point with you. It's not too late for us to do something special for Jesus with what he's given us to do it with. Are you hearing me? Are you following me so far? I'm headed somewhere with this. So we call the message the anonymous tailor. We don't know who this person was. It could have been an anonymous seamstress, ladies. I'm not trying to be chauvinistic. I just had to come up with a title for my message. But whoever it was, we may not know who it was, but think with me about how important this is. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the work they did. And because they did it the way they did it, it was custom fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he wore it to the cross. And every time we read John's Gospel and the other Gospels, it's in there. Would you not consider that important? Amen? So while I do not know who made this seamless garment for the Lord, I do believe there are some characteristics about this person that had to be in there in order for them to do what they did the way that they did it. And so if you'll follow along with me, I'm going to give you three simple points about this anonymous tailor and this garment this morning. Here's the first school of thought. It's really kind of a two-parter. Whoever made the seamless garment for the Lord, first of all, they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus and they knew him well. They knew Jesus and they knew him well. Whoever made this garment for the Lord, I believe they must have studied him very closely. I believe they were in personal proximity to him. I have no doubt, think with me now, that they measured him. They knew the width of the shoulders that would bear the cross for our sins. They knew the width and the depth and the breadth of the back that would be beaten for our reconciliation. They knew the reach of the arm that would be outstretched for our sins. Whoever made the seamless garment for the Lord, I believe they knew the Lord. I believe they were close to the Lord. And so my obvious question this morning, first of all, is do you know him? Do you know the Lord? So it's one thing to know about him. It's one thing to know of him. It's one thing to have friends or relatives in your circle of influence who know him. But God doesn't have any grandchildren. He just has children. Amen? So I'm just trying to ask you very simply, very clearly to get you to think about it deep in your heart of hearts. If you died today, and we could, we live in a crazy world. Amen? Somebody come in here with a gun. Somebody go to the mall today. Something happened on your way home. Car accident. Do you know if you died today, you go to heaven? Do you know him? I think that's a very, very important thing to think about. For Dabo Swinney, coach of Clemson University, who the team's a reigning championship team in college football, there was a press conference. A journalist asked him a question about his faith. When you hoist a trophy, you spend time talking about God and faith. Can you speak about that a little bit more? Because it's impressive that that's where you are right after hoisting a trophy. Sweeney's answer was pretty amazing. That's the easiest question I've had all day. To me, it's just the priorities of my life. I made a decision when I was 16. I grew up in a family where I was taught there was a God, but I really didn't have a relationship with Christ until I was 16. This is a quote. That was a game changer for me. It has really become a foundation in my life. And that would have been good enough to answer the question, but he was a good steward of his opportunity. Since they asked it, he thought he would continue. Life is hard. We're all going to experience death, failure, setbacks, disappointment, cancer. It's really a difficult world. For me, my relationship with Christ has given me hope and peace. I've applied that to my life all along my journey. To To me, if there's really hope in the future, then there's power in the present to deal with whatever mess you're dealing with in life. That's why my relationship with Christ, that's what my relationship with Christ did for me. It gave me the ability to have a hope and a belief beyond my circumstances. I'm telling you, friend, whether you are a famous person or an anonymous person like this tailor, you need to know him. It will be a game changer for you too. Then the second part of that is they knew him well. See, it's one thing to know Jesus. It's another thing to know him well. You can't go to heaven unless you know Jesus. Can't really serve him until you know him well, however, at least in the context we're talking about today, because if you don't know him well, follow this, and you still try to serve him, your service doesn't fit. Again, let me remind you, whoever did this for Jesus knew him well enough that their service was custom fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. What's that about? That's about relationship. That's about growth. That's about their being a reception, a frequency that we're on, right? That is growing and we begin to hear him better. The great vine chapter of John 15, we all want to latch on to verse 7 and say, ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Sign me up, put me in that line. Well, there's a first half of that verse, amen? If you abide in me, if my words abide in you. But I'm telling you that it is such a cancer in the church when we only memorize half the verse. Amen? There's such confusion on Christian television because a lot of times they're only quoting half the verses. No wonder people are confused. God doesn't want it to be that way. He wants you not only to know him, he wants you to know him well. Being saved, ladies and gentlemen, is not the end. It's the beginning. Are you hearing me? It's a new birth. And so we should be growing from there. Paul in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him. Oh, power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Come on, Paul, are you crazy? Are you crazy? You're actually asking for suffering. Now, I don't believe he was asking for suffering just to be asking. But you got to take it in context. He said, well, if my goal is to know you, and it's to know you well, and if my journey takes me through suffering in order for that to happen in my life, then yeah, that's part of what I'm praying for. That's what I want, because I know through that, I'm going to know you well. Are you following me? It's one thing to know, another thing to know well. I remember when I first started in evangelism, way back even before I was married. I was at it a couple years before Angie and I got married. And when I was in Pennsylvania, and I was preaching a revival meeting. Things were going well. This one lady in the church, a very sweet lady, and we hit it off. And she liked me, and she said, you know, I'd like to do something nice for you. Preacher, why don't you just come over to my house tomorrow? I'll fix lunch. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. I'm on the road. I'm a young guy, and don't get a whole lot of home-cooked meals, so I thought that'd be great. And I went to her house, and honestly, it was unbelievable. I've never seen so many things I did not like on one table in my life. If she had taken, I'm not kidding, if she had taken a survey the night before and said, Brother Allen, I'm going to fix a meal for you tomorrow, and I'll tell you what, why don't you just make a list for me of everything you can't stand? I mean, we'll just talk at the dessert or the salad and the entree and the dessert, and man, I'll just make every single thing that you can't stand. I'll have it on my table tomorrow. If she had done that, she couldn't have done any better than what she had on that table that day. Now, some of you are looking at me like, well, you're just picky. May I share with you? I'm not going to share everything because I don't have time. But her main beverage was prune juice. I'm sorry, I don't think that's mainstream. I've never seen it before or since. It was crazy. Now, she knew me, but obviously she didn't know me very well. Amen? If she had known me well, the sacrifice that she had wanted to make for me would have fit me perfectly. But see, we have an epidemic in the church of people who think that God is just going to bless any kind of sacrifice that we throw out there. But He's not. You know, newborns, they're kind of cute when they're first born, you know. You see them in the restaurant and it's kind of cute, you know. There's food dribbling down their face and the goofy faces they make and the smiles, you know. Look at that baby over there. Now, some guy 45 sits down and he starts all that stuff. You're looking for another restaurant, amen? Now, if you got somebody, a friend or family member that's handicapped, I'm not making fun of them, okay? I would never do that. But what I'm saying is it's one thing to be young in the Lord, and you just haven't gotten to know Him very well yet. You try to disciple people and you try to be patient with them. But listen to me, church. Listen to me. I've seen it over these 37 years. It is a tragedy when people have known the Lord for decades and they're still acting like they're spiritually retarded. Are you hearing me? It is one thing to know Him. It's another thing to know Him well. And if we ever needed a church in this dark world that we're in, if we ever needed a church that knew Him well, it's now. Amen. It's now. That's the kind of light they need to see. Now let's go on to the second thing that I believe we can say about this individual who made this garment. Not only did he know God, know Him well, but I believe he understood something about the honor that Christ deserves. The honor that Christ deserves. Because there's something about this seamless garment that I need to tell you that you may not know. Are you with me? Still with me? Okay. This garment was only worn by the high priest. Only the high priest wore this type of garment. Now you think about that. Because when you have the ability to make this kind of thing, you don't, you know, the person might be anonymous to us in the scripture, but to them, they probably weren't. They knew who was doing that. He made him for all the high priests. But here was a person, and this is what I want you to get. Here is a person, as he sees the Savior, who in the eyes of folks was despised and rejected, mocked, spat upon, ridiculed, pushed out of the city, driven out of one place, laughed out of another. And here's somebody who sees all of that treatment of our Messiah. And they finally rise up and say, you know what? I don't believe he deserves that kind of treatment. I don't believe he deserves to be stepped on. He doesn't deserve to be mocked. He deserves to be honored. Because I don't know about you, but I believe he is who he says he is. And I might not be able to do everything everybody else can, but I do have a gift. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him the garment of the high priest. Now I want my work to be identified with Jesus. Friend, can I just say to you today, he deserves to be honored because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the holiest of the holy. I like this person. I don't even know their name, but I already like them because they bucked the tide. They said, I don't care what other people say about him. I don't care how other people feel about him. I'm going to give him the honor that he deserves. Again, let me say to you, God is not going to accept just any sacrifice we throw out there. It didn't help Cain much, did it? God accepted Abel's, rejected Cain. God doesn't take just anything we throw out there. He doesn't want what you can do. He wants what he can do. Amen? Without the blood, no remission of sin. That's the foundation. Honoring him. I know I'm up here in Michigan and this, again, probably not the school that you root for, but I'm going back to Clemson. because I came across some articles about that quarterback of theirs, Trevor Lawrence. And he made it clear that he doesn't care much as much about football as he does about Jesus. He says, and I quote, "Football is important to me, obviously, but it's not my life. It's not like the biggest thing in my life. I would say my faith is," the 6'5", 215-pound Heisman runner-up said in a post-game interview. "That just comes from knowing who I am outside of football. No matter how big the situation is, it's not going to define me. I put my identity in what Christ says and who He thinks I am and who He says I am. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what people think about me or how good they think I play or whatever." And he tweeted before that championship game when they absolutely obliterated Alabama. Here's what he said before the game. This is what's on his mind before a championship game. Freshman quarterback at the time. "Just think about the privilege it is to have a Lord like ours. Imagine the mercy and grace it takes to offer us this life with Him. In all of our disgusting sin and how we betrayed Him, He still pursues us. If He's done that, I'll live this life for Him. There's nothing that compares." Now, I'm not really much into college football, but I can't help cheering for a guy like that. Amen? Maybe it's not your team. But I'm telling you, here's a guy that's trying to honor God with the abilities that God gave him. Are you getting it this morning? This is what this illustrates. I don't know what your ability is. I don't know what your personality is, but I'm telling you, God wants to use it if you yield it to Him, if you'll use it for Him. This person understood the honor that Christ deserves. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way on the job? Do you feel like giving Jesus the honor He deserves? Friend, please hear me. He deserves the honor of a sinless Savior who died on a cross for sin. He deserves the honor as being recognized as the Creator of all things. He deserves the honor of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He deserves to be the premier, supreme apex of your entire life, and nobody else and nothing else deserves that honor except Him. Oh, church, we need to be reminded of that today. Does our work say that? Is it identified like that with Jesus? That's why we're challenged in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 to endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross. It's hard sometimes. But we want to honor Him, don't we? Amen? We're going to honor Him. You endure hardness. Which kind of brings me to my third point. Y'all looking hungry. I'll move to my third point, okay? This anonymous tailor, they not only knew him and knew him well, they not only understood the honor that he deserves, but I really want you to get this one. It's so simple, but so powerful. I believe whoever made this seamless garment for the Lord, I believe they loved him very, very much. I don't think they would have done what they did if they didn't love him. Because I want you to think about something. Again, this was woven from the top throughout. I guarantee you, this person did not run out one night to Joanne's Fabric and just pick up a pattern and whip that out there for Jesus. Okay? I'm telling you, this was a long, hard, tedious, laborious process. I can imagine holding the shoulder part up to Jesus. No, it's 2 inches too wide. Oh. So instead of just cutting it off and make a seam, they're backing it out, stitch by stitch by stitch, till they get to the point where they can start over with that. Can you put yourself there for a moment? Can you imagine Many times this seamless garment project, this anonymous tailor probably wanted to quit. We could talk about many things that afflicted them. I don't have time for all of them. I'll go through two with you. Perhaps it was their own mistakes that frustrated them. As they back those stitches out, starting over again, I can imagine they're probably thinking, not again, not again. No, I messed up again. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I just thought I had that gift. Do you ever start out trying to do something for Jesus? And as the years go by, man, the culture changed. Amen? Season changed. Situation changed. It's not nearly as comfortable as it used to be. Are you with me? I see Tony and Rosalind over there. We were in school together. We've known these folks for years. Please do not hold that against me. But I've appreciated their testimony through the years. Been faithful to God. Now I know the kids coming through the schools these days, the homes they come from, how much more difficult it is. But I tell you, brother, I thank God for you standing in there, trying to be a counselor, trying to send light. Maybe you're trying to do that where you are on your job with your influence. I just want to thank you. For those of you who are trying, I want to thank you. Because there are just so many that are giving up. That's enough. I've had it. I can't do this. I've tried. Maybe I wasn't cut out for that. And I'm telling you, the great accuser doesn't seem to ever sleep. He is always on our shoulder. What are you going to do now? Well, what are you going to do now? Well, what are you going to do now? Well, what are you going to do now? And I can imagine that anonymous tailor getting frustrated at their own mistakes. Friend, do you ever get sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Do you ever look in the mirror and say, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with me? Why can't I get this right? How come I keep failing people and failing God? But can I tell you this morning, can I remind you this morning, dear friend, listen to me, child of God. It has never, ever, ever, ever been about performance with Him. It has always been about surrender. We all go at a different pace in this race. Some seem to be finishing far ahead of others, but praise God, because of what Christ did at Calvary, we all get to finish in glory. Amen? We're all going to be finishers. But I know that's frustrating. Something else that I'm sure was frustrating was the failure of other people. I can imagine that anonymous tailor trying to work so hard and do something for Jesus that only they could do, but all around they're seeing all these people that Jesus healed never came back to say thanks. They're looking around everybody else that's mocking Him. Everybody else that's forsaking Him. Now I can imagine in the midst of their project, they're thinking, well, is it worth it? Would the picture be all that different if I wasn't even here? I mean, nobody else seems to be trying. Can we relate to that as a church at all? Anybody here? I mean, when the pastor comes to the church for the 9,000th, 900th, 99th time, saying, can we please get a few more workers in the nursery? Some people just kind of get tired. Are you hearing me? Let somebody else do it. I've raised my kids. I don't want to work with kids anymore. Well, we need some more Sunday school teachers. Oh, man, I don't think I could do that. Church, you know, it's not right that 10% of the church is doing 90% of the giving. Sometimes you just get tired of it. Are you hearing me? Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I see the halo above each head, but you know what I'm talking about. And I can imagine, after all that, this anonymous tailor says, that's it, that is it. I'm tired of these mistakes. I'm tired of no help. I'm done. Throws it in the closet. But this is in the area where Jesus is. They've been with him. They can't get away from him. So they take a walk, and in their huff, and off in the distance, they see Jesus. And can I tell you, folks, things change when you see Jesus. They change when you see Jesus. Got a group of kids around him. The disciples say, hey, well, they're bothering you. We'll take care of them, Lord. Nah, no. Suffer the little children to come unto me, such as the kingdom of heaven. And all of a sudden, this anonymous tailor who sees that, sees the real Jesus, is reminded of something. Just like we need to be. They're reminded of who they're doing it for. That's Jesus. That's who I'm making this seamless garment. I'm not in love with the work. I'm not in love with the response. Do you see it? Are you catching it today? It was their love for the object of their work that drew them back to the work to complete it. And if there's anybody I'm speaking to this morning who's grown weary in well-doing and you're thinking about throwing that garment in the closet, I've come here today to tell you, don't do it. Remember who we're doing this for, friend. Don't ever forget who we're doing this for. They go out and see him heal the woman with the issue of blood and see him raise Jairus' daughter, see him as he continued to work miracles and change lives. It makes a difference. I got to get back at it. So, do you find your love for Jesus so moving that even when you're out of the presence of your preacher, friends at church, those who love Jesus, even then you're saying, I love you, Lord. I want to do something that would be fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to do something special with what you've given me to do. Do you find your love for Jesus moving from the ordinary to the extraordinary? And can I be blunt with you this morning? A lot of that can be told from whether you're looking at your watch, because we're going overtime a little bit this morning. Or whether you realize the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And He wants to do something special today if we'll let Him. You see the difference? When you know Him and know Him well, and you want to honor Him, and you really love Him, friend, I want to tell you, all of a sudden, time doesn't matter. Difficulties don't matter. Circumstance doesn't matter. Opinion doesn't matter. All you can think about is wanting to do something special for Him, because He did something so special for you. Oh, that we could get back to that kind of simplicity and that kind of fervor and that kind of response of love. Again, we don't even know their name, but 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what they did. Oh, God, help me. Help me to have that kind of ministry. Now, I preach primarily to the church, but I keep going back now to the first thing I said. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? See, this whole process can't begin until you know Him. You can hear all this stuff, but it's going over your head. It's spiritually discerned. And the first thing God wants to do for you, dear friend, is to save you, to redeem you. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where you start. That's where you get on board. You've never done that. You need to do that. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Christian, maybe you've already decided that. You've come that far. But these three questions about knowing Him well and honoring Him and loving Him. Maybe we need to rethink that a bit in our lives. Maybe we need to start today with this opportunity of rededication, of renewal, this invitation we give. Maybe it could start right here. Because God wants to do something in your life today. He does. He doesn't want this to go in one ear and out the other. You've got a garment, man. Lady, you've got a garment. Something you're working on, something that God has given you. And there's so many unfinished garments out there. Because somebody got hurt, somebody made mistakes, somebody got discouraged, somebody got bitter. And I'm telling you, today is the day to get it out of the closet and start stitching one stitch at a time. May God bless the preaching of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, for this moment. And I pray You'll help these people to take this message in the spirit that it's intended. I'm not preaching at people. I've been preaching to people. But God, I have a burden. I have a burden for Your anemic church to come alive again. God, we cannot keep bringing to the table what we've been bringing. There's a world to be reached. You're in the resurrection business. That's what you do. So God, I pray today You would fan the flame. That these embers, God, would somehow catch fire again. I know this is a good church. I know it is a great church. But I also know to whom much is given, much is expected. And God, help us all to take proper inventory today about what kind of garment we're making for You. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please do not leave unless it's absolutely necessary. Our instrumentalist is going to play. Our brother's going to sing. Folks, we'll excuse you if you need to step out. Folks, let's do business with God today. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to say, mind the Spirit of God, because He's in this place. I have no doubt this is what He wanted me to say today. And I don't know what it looks like in your life, but I do know this. God doesn't work by accident. Don't wait too long. That voice gets harder to hear. Would you come today to this altar of prayer? Folks, we'll excuse you if you need to step out for salvation, for rededication, whatever it is. We're going to give you that opportunity. Sing it, my brother. Come on home. Oh, what a joyful return. It's time to come back. It's time to go back to that closet and get that garment out. And remember who you're doing it for. The devil's got you looking at the wrong person. The wrong circumstances. It's time to come home. Would you come home today? While these are praying, there's time, there's room for you. It's not too late to do something special for Jesus with what He's given you to do it with.
I've wasted many rivers.
But one day, friend, one day,
now
it will be. We're going to stand before God and give an account of our stewardship. Is our word custom fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or is it just whatever mood I'm in today? Open wide, Lord.
Open
it wide today, God. I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
That is my prayer today. That somebody will be coming home.
And straying, Lord. Now I'm
this is the last verse.
Home.
No one else comes, we'll close. You will close the invitation. I will not. Are all hearts clear?
Thy word. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing that chorus one more time. Coming home.
Coming home.
Oh, yes.
Coming home.
It's time. It's time.
Every head bowed and everyone still in prayer. We'll wait while these are here. Elder, maybe something God's got on your heart today and you want to pray about right where you're at. Why don't you take a moment and do that right there today? Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, I pray as you would convict us of our sin, draw us close to the Savior, that we be obedient to your call. And God, we obey the leading and power and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, not only here in this worship service, but each and every day. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. Thank you for this powerful message today. May we apply it to our hearts as we serve you. And the King is coming soon and very soon. May we be ready for that time. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Be seated just for a moment.